Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. This is J-Bo. How the heck are you? What's been going on this week? Are you guys kind of in this same little bit of a pandemic haze and confusion and just really hoping that things open back up and things get back to normal? I sure am. You know, I find it the anxiety kind of manifesting itself in interesting ways. I've been, I don't know, you might say really depressed the last couple weeks, but a lot's been going on with me, and I've been using everybody for my therapist. You know, I don't know if it's pathetic. I'm really open with things, and I guess I'll use you guys. You know, I dated this girl, as you guys know, a lot of you know about her. I dated her for a long time, did many podcasts on the shenanigans between me and her. One of my favorite shenanigans was when she catfished me, saying she was somebody named Jasmine Quelling. And then I didn't flirt with Jasmine Quelling, but I asked her to do some very provocative things to prove that she wasn't actually a real person, or to prove that she was a real person, because I was certain she wasn't a real person. I think I said to her, you know, send me a picture of you flipping off the camera. It was just some messenger. You know, it didn't look real at all. And so she sent me a picture. I was like, oh, this person could be real. I said, put your feet behind your head. And she didn't do that. And then Rachel, my actual ex-girlfriend, busted me. She came in and some messages were sent while she was sitting here, which led me to believe that somebody else was in on it. I'm guessing her brother, who has been very duplicitous to me, you know. But anyway, the funny thing is, the weird thing is, the tragic thing, the lucky thing, whatever you want to call it, I ran into her about a month ago, and ran into her at her house. I went to her house, but I only went there to drop off her child's skateboard, which I got him. And honestly, I was just going to leave it on the porch. And I'd been wondering if she had been seeing anybody. It turns out she had been. She downplayed it. And I'll just tell you, we had a whirlwind, like, 3 to 4 week romance the last 4 weeks. And she's very hot, you know, hot and cold, hot and cold. I'm so hot for you, you're so cold, you know. And right now it feels a little bit final, though. It was really hot about 7 days ago. And then all of a sudden, you know, we were talking real nice. We were... whatever, you know, doing the thing, having a good time. You know, I was open to the possibility of something possibly working out with her. But then it just, 2 days later, it all changed. And not from my end, from her end. And, you know, I've been listening to this guy online. He's like this relationship guru. I don't know his name. He's got a bald head. And he's always harping on the no contact rule, meaning don't contact the girl and get your power back and get your masculine energy in check, and as in unleash it, I suppose. And that means you don't be the female in the relationship. I know it's a little sexist out, you know, it's a little sexist to say that, but the female being the one that's supposed to contact the other one and wonder what's going on. You know, the bottom line is you want to make, according to this dude, you want to make your partner or your ex-partner, the person you're trying to attract, you want to make them unsure of where you're at, what's going on. You want to be that guy that they're not quite sure of. And so that, it, as funny as it sounds, that gave me a lot of confidence listening to this dude. And yeah, man. So I'm ready to walk away. And I think that's the most powerful negotiating standpoint. And I don't... I don't want to put myself in a position of weakness with this person at all anymore. It's not good for her, not good for me. And hey, she can figure it out. And if we can meet, you know, like equals, that would be cool, man. Anyway, how the hell are you guys? That's what's been going on with me. It's been kind of wild. And then you put the pandemic, and then you put Mother's Day coming up. And on top of it, my mother tragically passed away a year ago, as of June 5th, I believe. Or was it June 4th? I think it was June 5th. June 5th. Yes. Yes, indeed. and I'm putting together a gravestone for her, and it's just been a wild few weeks. And when I look back at this time, I'm going to listen to the song that I wrote that I promise you I will be putting a whole episode together about this song I wrote for the pandemic called Wuhan With Me, and you'll hear it. You can hear it already if you want to go on Spotify. It's by the Million Dollar Pussy Boys, Wuhan With Me. That's me and Sean, who lives next door. He's the producer, and Davey is playing the mean guitar. I played keyboard on that track. Anyway, when I listen to that song, it's just going to, in 2-3 years from now, when this pandemic is in our rearview mirror and we realize that we really probably should not have shut down the goddamn entire economy for this thing. But I always, that Who song, it's like We Won't Get Fooled Again, always plays in my head when I think about this. And there will be more pandemics. There will be more viruses. And the stock market will come down. I hope we don't get fooled again, is my point. Anyway, like, that's what's been going on with me. How are you guys? Is everything okay? Feel free to contact me. Hit me with a like. I'm on Twitter. You can just Google Shit Show with J-Bo or TSS with J-Bo. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. What else? I don't know. That's about it. I don't got a website or anything. Oh, Podomatic. Yeah, go subscribe. I'm going to get some stuff on YouTube as well. I'm going to quit rambling is what I'm actually going to do right now, okay? I'm sorry. I've been drinking a little bit of Sam's Cola, Sam's Club Cola, and some Buffalo Trace whiskey. And yeah, I drink alone. I don't drink that much alone. You know, I'm not super pathetic about it, but I've been drinking alone lately. So anyway, I talked with Dave Kiernan. You know Dave. You've heard him on this show before a lot. And I thought about this concept, and, you know, I told you my mom died a year ago, and I was doing real well with the podcast, in my opinion. Like, I was every week. It was like clockwork. I was really making it happen because I vowed to do it once a week for an entire year. And my mom died and my priorities really shifted radically. I was really just kind of concerned about self-preservation, I guess mourning, being there for myself. You know, as odd as it is, there was really nobody around me that I could talk to anymore. So I really had to concentrate on myself. I probably gained 10 or 15 pounds. I just ate whatever the fuck I could, because it's just, that's one thing, you know, it's like you're feeling terrible, you know, and you just want a cheeseburger and you just want a fucking taco and you don't want to fucking do an intermittent fast, or you don't want to do any of these fad diets or any of that bullshit. So Dave got on the show. He told me he wanted to just, he always wanted to be on the show here and there. But then he kind of stepped it up about, I don't know, 6 months ago. And we decided to do it like every 2 weeks until Donald Trump gets reelected. And he has kind of a little bit been responsible for this show kind of keeping going. So thanks, Dave. Without him, I would still do them. But, you know, it's just like he helped out. He contributed. He's been editing a lot of these and putting some really smart commentary politically and in this particular episode about the stock market and economics and how America's doing right now in the face of this pandemic. But I promise you right now, I'm going to stop going on and on because I've had a little bit to drink. But what I'm going to do is, in a few seconds, I'm going to play you my theme song. And after that, I'm going to show you, I'm going to play for you the conversation me and Dave had about economics, about the state of things today, and about the world's most famous virus, the COVID-19, a.k.a. the Wuhan flu, a.k.a. a lot of funny names. One particular that I found hilarious was the Kung Flu. I know it's not cool to say that in certain circles, but the Kung Flu, come on, that's fucking funny. All right, here's my theme song. Welcome to the shit show, baby. Welcome to the shit show. Welcome to the shit show.
All right, man. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Did you have a good night last night, or did you do anything?
I watched a movie. I watched an Andy Samberg movie called Pop Star.
Was it any good?
Was pretty good. I watched the whole thing, which is, pretty rare. I often will shut off a movie after an hour. But
Right.
it says, whatever, the Lonely Island Boys, this thing, those funny songs,
Oh, yeah. No, I'm familiar with Andy Samberg. Is that movie have anything to do with The Lonely Island, or it's a totally separate thing?
No, it's those guys. And they're the ones, those three guys are
Oh, I see.
in the movie. And it's kind of like a mockumentary, rockumentary, but a
Oh.
mockumentary.
Oh, okay. Got it. I didn't hear you the first time. That's cool. Yeah, man, it's funny. I don't watch movies much either. I always think about that'd be cool to watch a movie, but I like never have the time, but it's really I just don't feel like going through the whole thing and putting it on because I sit there on my stupid ass phone for 2 hours. I could easily watch a movie.
Well, yeah. Well, I had a thought like that we can get in more than 24 hours worth of productivity in a day because we can multitask. You can watch a movie and be on your phone at the same time. So you're like actually doing 4 hours worth of stuff.
Yeah, except when I'm on my phone, it's like watching, old Limp Bizkit videos and Mike Tyson knocking people out, so not super productive,
Yeah, you could. Well, yeah, me neither. And I guess productivity is not the best one because I'm usually playing like Mario Kart on my phone when I'm watching a movie, So that's not productive, but it's doing something,
Dude, I'll sometimes have three screens rocking, and it's like I'll have a TV on Fox News. I'll have my computer and the phone, and like it just feels right,
Yeah, it's
crazy, man. Welcome back to the shit show. It's been a couple weeks. I know you wanted to talk some economics, which is fine with me. I don't even know what that word means, man, but I want to hear you talk about economics and I'll interject. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
What do you mean by economics? You mean during the time of Wuhan? You mean stock market? What do you mean?
I mean the data releases, the economic reports and stuff.
Okay.
And we really, I think this past week got first chunk of data in. And it's not good, as would be expected. And it's not good relative to what was expected either. So you'll have, hey, we're coming out with gross domestic product this week. And then you'll have a bunch of analysts try to predict what that number's going to be. And almost entirely, the numbers came in below not just the previous readings, but the forecast readings.
Wow, okay.
And and I think the big one was gross domestic product for the first quarter.
Now let's
And
imagine I didn't, read the books about GDP. What does that actually mean? Gross, for our listeners, of course. Gross domestic product.
it's sort of your broad reading of economic activity throughout the entire country. So it consists of consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. The real leader for gross domestic product over the last several years has been consumer consumption. And that's partly fueled by consumer debt. And also our recent high levels of employment. So if you have a job, you're going to spend more. If you have a job, you're going to probably feel more comfortable taking out credit card debt. So you get this fuel and this, you know, traction going. When you get employment at high levels, you're going to get higher spending.
Okay.
And this quarterly GDP for the first quarter includes January, February, and March. And as we know, the tail end of March, we had these stay-at-home orders, and the economy really slowed down. You couldn't go to restaurants. You can't get a haircut. Nobody's going to movie theaters. So consumer spending really got wrecked. And then you have to think about how that feeds down the chain of production, where, say, if movie theaters are shut down, well, I don't know if that's the best example right now, but if restaurants are shut down, the restaurants are not buying food from the food producers.
Right.
They're not spending as much on utilities. They're obviously not spending as much on employment. So if you're buying less from the food processors, their activity declines. And then they go to the farmers. And so farming activity gets hit. And so, you know, so there's this chain of events that happens when you have a consumer-driven economy, that when the consumer goes away, it crushes all the way down the chain. And, like, a big one right now is also auto sales. I think, you know, some of the numbers have come in on those, and, you know, like, used car sales fell, like, 50% or something. And nobody's buying cars. And that's in part due to uncertainty about future income. It's in part, like, I don't know if they're even open. But there's a lot of reasons that car sales have gone down, and that filters into all sorts of industries, auto manufacturing, auto parts manufacturing. That's a huge chain, and it filters into the shipping because sometimes we will import auto supplies to make cars, or we'll be exporting cars or importing cars. And so that whole shipping aspect of the economy is really slowed. And then all of that has filtered into the oil price, you know, and all this reduced demand has crushed oil. But anyway, so the GDP tries to capture all of that supply chain and the overall economic activity. And so this first quarter GDP came in on Wednesday, the 29th, and it decreased at an annual rate of 4.8%, meaning that first quarter 2020 was, on an annualized basis, 4.8% below first quarter 2019. And I'm not sure, but that might be one of the worst. I think it is one of the worst GDP readings of all time.
So basically, Dave, like, the crash, the shutdown, the initial shutdown has many more long-lasting implications. And people just, you know, I'm hearing about food shortages and things like that. So it kind of reveals itself over time, and people aren't exactly aware what the repercussions will be yet, correct?
Now, that is very correct. And the Bureau of Economic Analysis, on the first page of their release, left a whole paragraph-long note essentially saying, we don't know. This happened the last 2 weeks of the quarter. The data was pretty much already in. We scrambled to try to get some of this information. But you should expect a revision to this number So we don't know if that would be up or down, but it might be a substantial revision. And then the real kicker is going to come in the second quarter when you have April, which is a total shutdown. May is going to be, 80% shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
I see. June, you'll probably have more stuff going on, but still, if you have limited occupancy, it's you're not going to get back to where you were.
No, for sure. And I've been doing a lot of I've been day trading. Well, I don't know if you'd call it. I don't know if day trading. You trade every day, but anyway, I put some money in the stock market. A lot of stuff was very low. I think I got the bottom at a couple things, I hope anyway, as far as buying when it was mostly at its lowest with travel stocks, the industries that kind of got really rattled. It's so funny how that works. And it was my first foray into understanding how a healthy economy or how an economy works. Like, the president will speak. And I figured, I finally understood what it meant to say, the president is the most powerful man in the world. Like, I was like, what does that even mean? Like, I said, okay, but specifically why? It's like, he does a speech, and if it's like a good speech, if it's optimistic, you can watch the stock market just start to raise, He can literally make money from speaking for an hour positively. But then 2 days later, it drops back again, so it's a Fugazi, man, as they said in The Wolf of Wall Street. It's very strange. It's very interesting. That's my only perception in economics, because I've been day trading, is the stock market. And it's really opened my eyes, and I don't know what to make of it. It seems like it would behoove me to sell more often, like you've kind of suggested, as opposed to holding on to shit, because maybe that's how you make money. You jump around because it's all just so random,
Well, at a time like this, where there's still a lot of volatility, there's tons of uncertainty, there are big, big players who are probably still underwater, who are going to play games with people like you and me, they're not just buying because they think things are going to be good, they might buy to push the price up so that they can sell it higher.
Pump and dump.
Sure. And there's a lot of games that we're just unaware of, and a lot of, I've heard the market moves more based on inventories of stocks that some of the big players have, and whether they need to increase their allocation rather than decrease their allocation. These are decisions they make based on their potential profitability, not whether they think the market's going up or down. They just have a different view of how this stuff works. So, I don't know. And I worry about your airline stocks this week.
Yeah.
Because Warren Buffett, Warren Buffett?
I do. He dumped 10% of his shit about a month ago, right?
Something like that. And then I think he said over the weekend that they're going to sell all of their airlines.
What the fuck? I mean, well, that's probably because, I don't know. Why would he do that? I mean, shouldn't he hold on, wait for them to recover, or is he going to invest in something else, in oil, because it's incredibly low? Or what would be the reason for that?
Well, what he said, this is just really, really interesting, is that, and you saw you caught the bottom, and stocks spiked. They really started going straight up.
They spiked twice now. You know what I mean?
Well, we're still in that same first upward move that started on March 23rd.
Yeah.
Or 24th, I guess. But what he said was there wasn't enough time at the low prices. There wasn't enough time for me to go in to Delta and throw my balls on the table and say, I'm buying half your company for this price because you need it. That's what he does. When companies are in peril, he'll step in and push them around and get a really good deal. Since the Federal Reserve came into the market on the 23rd or 24th and told those airline stocks and everybody in the world and the government said, we're going to bail you out. He wasn't able to do that. So the government once again stopped the free market from being able to be successful.
Oh, wow. And that's why he didn't do it. Interesting.
Yeah. So he's going to dump what he has. And when you look at the market, it's, you know, it's down from on the 29th of April to where it is currently. The S&P 500 is down 4.5%. Now it's still sitting, if you want to call this a potential low, which we don't know, because after that Warren Buffett news, we may have kind of a rough week, or at least a rough first day, but the market's still at a higher low than it made on the 21st of April. So it's still in an uptrend, you know, it's not in a downtrend yet, but that's kind of the question right now is, can this uptrend be maintained? And for how much longer? It's sort of struggling right now.
Yeah, it's funny. I got young people at work asking me about stock advice, you know, which is pretty hilarious. And because I've been telling them, like, yeah, I've been telling them to get into it. And, you know, this one guy's like, oh, man, the shit's exploding today, bro. He's like, what should I do? I said, I wouldn't invest today because it's the second day in a row that it was exploding earlier this week, like Monday and Tuesday, whatever it was. I said, I would give it a couple of days because it's probably going to settle down a little bit, you know. And he goes, oh, too late, man. I fucking put a bunch in today. And, of course, the next day it drops. Next day it drops further, you know. It's like – I know that much about it, where 2 days it'll fly high, then all of a sudden, a few days it's back, not quite as low as it was. It's always kind of rising, but it's, you know, it's down. You know, I earned like made like $3,000 on some stocks, like within 2 days. And I waited, and that was pretty good, but then I had the kind of a buffer, you know, but the next 2 days they went back, like these last 2 days they went down, and I still kept some of that profit, but it was much more reasonable profit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, you know, and people tend to lose money.
They really do, yeah. I've been lucky.
We don't have giant buildings in New York City, you know. They do. So it's like the casino, the house wins. No, I mean, there are ways to make money in the stock market. Tons of people do, but they're far more educated on this stuff than you and I are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've been doing it for 30 years. You know, you get people who are professionals at that. So we're at the very low end of the education curve. You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, you know, for sure, man, for sure. So what else, man? What else has been going on? You've been looking into any other news as of late, care to speak about, I don't know, you know anything about General Flynn, what's going on with that? Was that a big bombshell? You think they'll use that against the Dems? You think the Dems have hollowed out their party possibly and won't get elected for another 12 years because of it?
No. No. I mean, how has any of that stuff come back on Democrats? Or do they just say, well, Trump is a Trump hates the FBI. None of that stuff sticks. Yeah, but, you know, right, if you just look at the result,
right,
that stuff doesn't stick. So
person doesn't understand it or care to understand it, you know.
Not going to change opinion. If you're a Democrat already, it doesn't, you say, well, good, they got Flynn. That guy's a dirtbag.
Right. If you're Republican, you go, see those dirty motherfuckers.
Yeah, I was right. And then the Democrat would be like, so what? You're still an asshole, you know.
Fuck you, cuck.
Right.
Yeah, that is funny. Okay, so Flynn, yeah, I'm gonna change shit. I actually am kind of glad that Kim Jong-un seems to be still alive. I guess they have footage of him now, and I don't know, like he's somehow gained a little place in my heart, maybe America's heart. He's just a little round fellow, 36 years old, the weight of the world, you know. They found him though. That was very strange. I was pretty sure he was dead by the way Trump was talking.
I don't know if we know the truth about that. I don't know if there's really new footage of him holding a newspaper with the date on it, you know?
That might be old footage.
So we don't know what's going on with that. At least I don't, you know, and I guess the news is telling us he's not dead, so you always gotta
Well,
believe the
did you see
news.
the footage? Did you see it though?
I did not, no.
Okay, because initially it was like, oh, supposedly, but there was no footage. But there has been footage of the fertilizer plant, ribbon cutting that he took part in. So yeah, I mean, assuming it's modern footage, there it looks modern, you know.
Well, either way, I think there was news last night that gunfire was exchanged in the DMZ across the border between North and South Korea.
That's true.
So that's probably more interesting to me at this point because
What do you think that's all about?
don't know, I didn't read the article. But it could be. It could be a few good men situation where just kind of an accident. And it could be the start of something larger. And the last thing the world needs right now is something larger. And it could be that Kim Jong-un was in China or, talking, having secret meetings with the Chinese who were like, we got to ramp up tensions here because now's our chance. With the world in turmoil, now's a good time to really start making a move. That's kind of the worst case scenario.
I mean, Jesus Christ, what more moves could they make? They're sending synthetic heroin to kill everybody through the Mexican borders. They're releasing viruses upon the world. Now I heard there's like these murder hornets that are coming from Asia that are hitting American shores. Jesus. You hear about the murder
Yeah,
hornets?
just a little bit. It's all very, it's like Revelations in the Bible, man. Get some diseases and some locusts with armor on them to come kill everybody.
Asia's murder hornet found in U.S. for the first time. They could decimate. They're here to kill our fucking honeybees, apparently.
Ooh, we need the bees.
Yeah. And let's see, can a murder hornet kill a human? And more than two, dude, they're 2 inches long. They're the largest hornets with a sting that can kill humans if bitten multiple times. Wow. Although I think I could be killed by a regular hornet if a couple of them hit me, because I'm highly allergic. I was walking around the forest one time in Washington, got stung in the shin by some kind of mountain hornet, and within 2 days, like my foot was hurting, but I didn't realize. I took off my shoe, and my foot looked like an obese man's foot with like little tiny toes sticking out of the end. It was very strange.
It's gross.
Yeah, I have pictures of it, and I just laugh when I look at it. It doesn't look like me at all. My skinny feet, Boy, Dave, what else is going on, man? Anything or
Well,
we have
we talked about the COVID-19 numbers last time, so
Yeah, where are they going this time? Yeah.
I've been updating those consistently.
So what's
And
going on with
not much. They're staying about the same, between 25 and 35,000 new cases per day. So again, the curve is flattening, but it's not going down.
Now, when they say
And
cases, is this discovering antibodies or is this people in varying levels of being sick from it? Is that what a case means? Or is that just like they're testing the population, they have the antibodies, they had the sniffles? Does that count? What counts as a case, I guess? Do you have any idea?
Primarily, the people who are getting tested are people who are sick.
Okay.
And then some higher risk folks. But it just, yeah, it means that you have it. It's not an antibody test to find out if you had it in the past and beat it. So it's just that this is, it's not declining yet. And we're starting to open the country, testing starting to increase. And so there's probably just as good a chance the numbers start to go up,
right,
rather than go down. And I think, you know, you've consistently pointed out that the death rate is getting lower and lower and lower with those kind of research studies on antibodies, and that the actual number of cases is much higher, orders of magnitude 10, 20, 30 times higher than the recorded cases. And those people haven't died. You know, they have had millions of people who have eaten this thing and probably didn't even know they had it, which is great, great news. However,
I like how you're using however instead of but.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, you know, that brings up other connotations.
You know, there's a saying that goes, nothing. Everything's meaningless until the but, you know, but
yeah.
Then now it's until the however, you know.
Well, when I say it, I mean that this is true. However, the response from some of these governments, these state governments, is going to be well justified if they want to keep the country closed or if they want to keep their state closed. All they're going to have to do is point to these new cases. Say, well, now they're going up, so we can't open up yet. So as long as these cases remain stable, and especially if they start to go up,
yeah,
we shouldn't be expecting to open the country through the summer, and then when the fall rolls around, we're going to get a whole different story of, well, now it's virus season, so we sure as hell can't open up.
And it also happens to be election season, and you know damn well that's going to be expressed to a fact. They're going to use that politically at some point. But, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously that is virus season. So,
what is – okay, and this is just an interesting topic, because if you're Gretchen Whitmer and Zuhl, how does it benefit you politically – to keep your state on lockdown? Or is it just, you know, even from a perspective of beating Trump?
Right. At what point does your constituency fucking hate you? And does it behoove you to open up either way? Yeah.
Yeah. So how, you know, is it purely to tank the economy? Does she actually have good motives there, you know, where she, you know, she thinks everybody should be afraid and hide?
I think everything just in this country is so polarized, right? That really we are talking about practically religions left or right at this point. And whatever you buy into, you're going to acknowledge their facts, the left or the right, and you're going to act accordingly. And you're going to be the martyr, or you're going to be, you know, the virtue signaler. So I think she's just reading the left's press, and all the other states happen to be Republican. They're reading the right's press, and they're acting accordingly, you know.
Yeah. And then, you know, is it science-based? Yeah, they shut down – the state of California shut down Orange County beaches when the Orange County mayor did not want them shut down. But, again, we've talked about it, and, like, the White House, the Homeland Security, did a study that said UV rays kill the virus. Your chances of getting this thing at the beach, as long as you, you know, are not hand in hand with somebody who's sick,
yeah,
are very low. So, you know, the beaches are one thing where it's like, why, you know, that's the last place you want to shut down, because that's, if people are going to be out, that's where they should be. They should be out getting sun. And we've talked about that for months, but
I agree. I agree.
where is Gavin Newsom? Is that now? Who's the yeah, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Why are they shutting down the beaches? It's almost, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's almost like they want it to get worse. I don't think that's the case, but they are telling people to, you know, stay in your house in the dark, only go to the grocery store where everybody has to go.
Right.
If you're gonna get sick, it's probably gonna be at the grocery store.
But if you're
You
your mom and
know.
pop's little thing, you know, let's stay closed, don't you aren't allowed to make that money.
Yeah, it's just, I think it's just raw stupidity at this point.
It really is. And then did you hear about those two doctors that came out? And I watched some of the video, and they were talking about, you know, that the cases were much lower, and the hospitals like had to furlough a bunch of people. So what you're going to do is have people inside. They're going to come out. They won't have any herd immunity whatsoever. They'll get sick. They'll try to go back to the hospitals that don't have anybody working there, and it'll get worse because of that. And anyway, despite what I just said, they painted a fairly rosy picture of the numbers. It wasn't as bad in California as you know, to justify a lockdown. And then YouTube bans the video, adding fuel to the fire. And very interesting. You know, they thought I acted as if it was very dangerous to air this thing. And because it was kind of a couple doctors going against the mainstream leftist political narrative. But for the listeners out there, if you go on DuckDuckGo, which is a search engine, and you look up banned.video, they actually have the video there. It's banned off YouTube, but I think it's Alex Jones's personal video site of all these things that have been banned. It's a great site to go to hear some alternative takes, you know.
Yeah, I've heard clips of that video. Yeah, and they kind of say, you know, the death rate is similar to the flu. Right. And if you're in your house and you've sprayed everything down with Lysol and there's no bacteria or germs in your house and you're not exposed to anything for a period of months, yeah, when you do go back out, you are going to have a weaker immune system. And so that may be setting us up for a resurgence of this thing or a worse flu season in the fall or a combination of both. If we have a bad flu season and this thing,
Yeah, right.
that's bad news.
In the end, Dave, I think we have done it right. I think there's no choice but to open up the country. It's just a moot point. Like it has to be done. Everybody, it has to kind of go through the population. It really does. I mean, we aren't going to stop it. It's just a matter of, I think, developing that herd immunity, you know. I think we've done it right. We haven't overwhelmed the hospitals at this point because of the social distancing, but at this point, this is the second phase, and we have to slowly introduce ourselves to the virus itself, you know.
Yeah, slowly, I think is the point right there. Probably the slower the better. Hospital system has not been overwhelmed. That's good news. Yeah, but I don't, I guess, I don't know if I agree entirely. I mean, I certainly don't disagree. I have no information on, you know, nobody knows. You know, they look at places that never gave shutdown orders, just certain states in the Midwest.
Right.
And all things, you know, adjusted for all things, they had lower rates of contraction than states that had lockdown orders.
Right.
So the math is not necessarily on the side of the shutdown orders were good. So that's just something to keep in mind. I'm, you know, again, I
Yeah.
don't know, but
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like some well, like it seems like the places that didn't have a high risk, they didn't shut down as hardcore, you know. the place that did, they did. I mean, America is practically as big as Europe, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, each state might as well be a different country, you know, so it's not a monolithic thing, you know. I think generally speaking, we did the right thing, but I hear you. Maybe, I mean, you know, like a place like New York City, obviously it seems like that was the great idea to shut that down, but Montana not as much, or did they even shut down Montana? I don't know.
No, true enough. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Yeah, and New York could have gotten much worse, and then they did. They were on the cusp of a public health crisis where they needed more hospital beds, and the federal government came in there, and they brought in their ship with, I think, you know, it had 1,000 beds, and then when it turned to a COVID ship, it had 500 beds because they need more space. But I don't think that ship was used very much, and they turned the Javits Center into a hospital that's now closed down. They did something in Central Park that's now closed down. So there was an overreaction, you know.
For sure, 100%.
It really was. We need 40,000 ventilators. It's like, and then they don't even, I don't even know if they understand. A ventilator doesn't save your life. If you get bad enough that you need to be on a ventilator, you have an 80% chance of dying.
You're already locked up, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I guess the big question is, this has been an insane learning curve, crash course in virus protection. You know, Asia has seen it for a long time. I always saw Asian people wearing those masks, and I was always like, what a weirdo. Even, you know, and now I get it. And I just hope we don't get punked again, basically. And I hope the conspiracy theories aren't right, you know, and like the really horrible ones, and that this is just a virus. We're taking proper precaution, and it's not some big globalist scam to fucking turn us all into captives. And I hope we learn better next time, you know. If it hits again, we social distance a little bit, we put on masks, and we go about our fucking days. We do not shut down the entire country.
Yeah, and so, yeah, on that note, there could be some things that have been learned. You know, certainly you should wash your hands before you eat. Don't put your finger up your nose or in your mouth or in your eye. That's stuff that we should have known before. And I don't even think that I'm a little annoyed at the government at how the lack of education that they provided. Why do you wash your hands? Why, you know, wash your hands for 20 seconds. And the, you know, why? Well, because a virus has a shell that dissipates with soap. It has a lipid shell. And once you destroy that shell, it can't, you know, it's done for. So, you know, there's none of the why. There's none of the underlying education of it's okay. The sun, you know, it's if you're going to touch something that's metal, you should be more careful. It's worse to do that when it's dark out or when it's cold out.
Yeah.
Then if you're in blazing sun, it's probably not going to have any viruses on it because the sun killed it. The sun melted its shell. You know, there's just this, you know, like we just went to total fear mode as opposed to like understand your enemy, understand the problem. You can be, more cautious in the dark or at night. And that's, you know, human evolution right there. You know, like you're always like primordially more fearful at nighttime or in the dark. And there's a reason for that.
And just, you know, how easily people are led around. Like all of a sudden Trump, you know, everybody's watching Trump and he's doing his coronavirus briefing thing. Starts talking about the sun, and everybody goes, oh, my God, let's go out in the sun now. Oh, good, it feels so good, of course. This is the thing. It's like, really? Like, that was news to you, and, like, you're waiting on him to tell you that?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it took him too long. It shouldn't have been his job. That's Fauci. That's Barks.
Right.
Who can, you know, that they should have been putting that information out there. You know, in addition to wash your hands, here's why you wash your hands. Also, it's safer to be in the sun. It's almost like they just didn't trust the people enough to give them additional information, because then they would start making their own decisions.
They would clearly
make the wrong decision.
You just nailed it. Steven Crowder, who I've really learned to appreciate the last month or so. Do you know him, Steven Crowder?
Yeah.
Yeah. He talks about, like, and I remember when Surgeon General came out and told us that masks wouldn't help anybody. And all of the liberal people at work were like, oh, what do you mean, masks? They don't help anybody. And really what it was, well, either there was a grand scheme to get this shit in the population further, or there was just a shortage of masks and they wanted the doctors to have them. You know, instead of telling us, like, don't hoard them, you know, be responsible, we need the medical workers, they had to lie and go, well, they just don't work. Then, of course, a month later, Trump's like, at all costs, get a mask, get a scarf, bandana, whatever you can do, because it's like the one thing that helps, you know. So, well, it's just lies. It was lies. It was a lie to make us do something instead of informing us on what was actually happening, you know. You had to read between the lines.
To an extent, but I think there's also some conflicting science about masks, mm-hmm. where a mask can be a germ collector. So it needs to be cleaned or disposed of quickly. And again, that's not information that has been put out there as far as I know. It's now wear a mask. It's better to wear a mask. Not wear a mask, but every time you go out, you have to, when you come home, you have to clean it. You know, why hasn't that been said? It's pretty damn important.
Or you see people handling money at grocery stores or wherever, and they're wearing gloves, but it's like, I picked this up from Alex Jones. Listen to him. He goes in. He doesn't wear a mask. When people call him out, he goes, you've been wearing gloves for 2 hours. If what you're saying is true, you have to change those gloves between every customer. You're not doing it. So, like, what the hell are you talking about, you know?
Sure. I think there's only partial information out there for people to protect themselves. And that's not good.
Yeah. So, but anyway, dude, maybe this was good for today, bro.
Probably. How long have we been on?
40 minutes.
40 minutes, yeah.
45 minutes.
Yeah. So I've got to prepare for my live stream. I'm doing my first live stream tonight, 5:30.
Oh, no shit. Dude, what do you use? Well, okay, here, stay on. Hey, man, thanks for coming on, dude. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, okay?
All right, later on, Jeff.
See ya. All right, Dave, so how you doing this, man? Live stream, because I want to do that too.
Yeah. So I'm just streaming my screen. I'm not streaming. Can you stop the call so I don't have to edit this all out or stop the recording? Or you want to call back?
I mean, I can just call you back if you like.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. I didn't edit that one bit. It was pure, solid fucking gold. Don't you agree? Hell yeah. Hell of a good job, Dave. Hell of a good job, J-Bo. Tune in next week or whenever I decide to put out another podcast. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo, and we shall talk soon. Later.